Hey, it's Millie, and welcome to the Generalist World podcast. This is a show where I interview people from the Generalist World community, and we talk things like the future of work, careers, predictions, their hot takes, and really understand what their squealy careers have looked like. So if you're a generalist who feels like they're living in a specialized world, this is the podcast for you.
Hey, Darren, we're doing the podcast. This is so exciting. Welcome to the GW Pod. How are you going today?
Doing well. Thank God it's Friday. Looking forward to the weekend. Long weekend here in Australia. It's Australia Day.
Oh, of course. Well, there you go. I hope you have a wonderful long weekend ahead. Darren, for the folks who don't know you, for the folks that haven't met you yet, haven't come across you, how would you describe who you are, what you're all about, and why someone should listen in to the next 30 minutes or so?
This is always a challenge when people come and ask you, who are you, what do you do, what, you know, why, right? And I think this is a perennial generalist challenge. To introduce myself as the MacGyver or the Beam Me Up Scotty of data and technology projects. It might be a generational thing with both of those characters, but I think a lot of people recognize that either MacGyver or Scotty are the guys that fix stuff. And they seem to know a lot about a lot of things.
Awesome. And okay, as someone who knows a lot about a lot, which are, you know, champagne problem to have, I know that you're working on something pretty interesting at the moment. I kind of know at high level. Can you tell us more about that?
I can say a little bit more now that there's a little bit more publicity that literally just came out this week. So at Singapore Airport, our company is helping them use an AI platform to optimize the dispatch of tasks for baggage handling with autonomous vehicles. So airports, cool. Travel, cool. Robots and AI, extra cool.
Very cool. And so what's your role?
I'm a project manager for the software company with the AI optimization tools for task dispatch. Yeah, so we're sending the instructions to tell, you know, Rosie the robot to go over to that gate to get your bags or get the containers with the bags from there to the baggage hall and in reverse for departures. So yeah, so those autonomous vehicles, or I like to call them robots, need to get instructions as to where to go and what tasks to do and when. Given that the airport is super dynamic with early landings, late departures, and all that is the chaos of an airport, which generally customers don't get to see, but yeah, it's controlled chaos. It's pretty fun. And the AI tools help optimize all of that.
Wow. And how does your generalist skill set show up in this work?
Yeah, really exciting. I've not worked in the aviation industry before. So there's one, right? So being able to transfer my knowledge, my experience from other industries, other types of companies, other environments, other operating environments to the aviation sector. I am an aviation geek anyway, so often you'll find me and my son down at the airport plane spotting, you know, and I have traveled a lot. So the AI we use, I guess, predates the mainstream use of generative AI. So we're not using generative AI. It's an optimization engine. So whilst I'm not a software developer or an all-in AI, you know, consultant, we are using an AI solution, and that entails understanding of our solution and how we build that. So I do work with our software development team. So again, you know, skills stacking, I guess, has been quite important throughout the career, and all of it comes together nicely. You know, so there's software, there's AI, there's project management, there's extensive stakeholder management because there are many parties involved. In a project like this, there's hardware, there's software, there's processes. You know, I'm still doing a little bit of data management as well, which I've done before, ensuring that, you know, all parties are speaking the same language, exchanging the same data. Yeah, so it pulls together a lot.
I'm curious, do you have any tips for people who might be in the position where they need to get teams and people speaking the same language, but perhaps they're struggling with it? Do you have any specific tips to help them think about that?
So there's two things that I typically do in any organization that I've joined. I somehow land with the job of maintaining the company's glossary. three-letter acronyms and more letters, any phrases, or even with Generalist World, you're familiar with my list of definitions that I have on LinkedIn. Just trying to understand, you know, how are all the different ways that, you know, generalists are described? There are so many acronyms in the aviation industry. You know, looking at the ETA, simply of, you know, when is a estimated time of arrival of a flight, and then the IATA, which you may have seen their little acronym on your plane ticket, and the acronyms for the names of airports. That's what we see as frequent flyers, but all the stuff under the hood, you know, there's a lot of jargon, as in any industry, and my learning process is to go through what we have, and anything that I hear goes in the dictionary or the glossary, and I share that quite broadly across our organization. And then the other piece is I'm very visual. You know, whether it's Canva or Google Slides or PowerPoints, Miro boards, Notion, wherever it might be, I do like to put things in pictures. And I do like taking photos. So when I was last out on site at Singapore Airport, I was taking pictures like crazy. So I've got a nice library, and I can actually put the whole process in pictures. You know, some people like to write. Some people like to do flowcharts. Some people like to tell stories and listen to audio. For me, it's visual, and that helps break down the language barrier. Because we have team members all across the globe, from Canada out to Kazakhstan, and pretty much everywhere in between. Lots of accents, different points of view, technical people, non-technical people, so on and so forth. So pictures have been very, very useful.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm also a very visual person, so that really resonates. On the topic of AI, are there ways that you are using it at work? Obviously, you're using it at work, but personally, maybe in your workflows, or are you, and how are you integrating it in your kind of everyday work?
I am using it a little. I do use it as a bit of a so-called co-pilot, not specifically that brand of AI, but, you know, being in the aviation industry, you know, just someone sitting beside you checking, you know, so chatting with an AI, and I'll use a variety of them depending on what each of them is kind of good at. Yeah, an extended search engine in a sense, which I think a lot of people are familiar with. You can actually frame much more complex questions in words than a simple Google search might give you. So that's one way to bounce an idea off someone. The other one is the RAG type AIs, where to use some of your content to help train it so that you know that it's based off of your information. So personally, like having it prepare CVs and job application responses as a first draft, I definitely would not recommend letting an AI loose and respond on your behalf. But having it trained on your writing, so making available to the AI all of your content, and then have it write something based off of that. And so you're really using the LLM, the generic, you know, the ChatGPT or the Gemini or whatever it might be, as an understanding machine, so it can understand your query, understand the content you've given it, but having an LLM focus on your content as its training material so that it can produce material like yours. That's a little more on the personal sense, on a day-to-day work. So in software development, we write user stories, you'll have acceptance criteria, and given the niche nature of our product, it's quite different from asking a normal LLM. So, write me a user story on, you know, building a website, you know, an e-commerce website, because there's a gazillion of those. So teaching it or giving it data about our product, the way we've written user stories, and the way we've written matching acceptance criteria, for example, I can then give it, hey, here's another set of user stories. Can you create acceptance criteria for those? The first round was I had some junior and interns work on writing the acceptance criteria to user stories. I've reviewed them, we've tweaked them, our developers have had input, so we've got a nice set. Now we give the LLM half the story, you make the other half. And it's been pretty successful. It's a nice, you know, set of first draft, and then our team can update those. So it's very much like training an AI how to recognize pictures. You've got to say, hey, here's a picture of a dog, here's a picture of a cat. This is a dog, this is a cat. Now, I only give you the picture. Can you tell me which one's a dog, which one's a cat?
It's really wild, even in the last like 6 months, how much it feels like AI has come along, like particularly on, I've been using Claude a lot this week, and now you can start to see it come into your browser and click around, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine where this is going to be, particularly to do things like documentation and data processing. It's like, it just is mind-blowing.
Yeah, well, like even coding, for example, like I'm not a software developer, but I have developed software before. I manage teams that do software development. But I've done a couple of small projects of my own in the past couple of years, and it's just amazing what it can do. And I mean, you've experienced that as well, right? Being able to build something from scratch without touching a line of code yourself.
As a non-technical person, yeah, it's wild. Okay, I'm curious. You were saying that you have basically switched industries, gone from one to the other to the other, and you kind of said it quite flippantly, like quite casually, but that's not an easy thing to do. And so I'm wondering, when you look back at those switches or the back at those transitions into different industries, would you have one or two pieces of advice for folks who are also thinking about switching industry? What worked really well for you?
I think it's adjacency. So I am still working with critical infrastructure, which I've done. You know, I can draw a red thread across my career that has somehow touched critical infrastructure, whether it's been emergency services or government services, public infrastructure, local government, defense, whatever it might be. So, you know, today, you know, for a nation, an airport is critical infrastructure. And then the other aspect, you know, I've had job titles, including, you know, operations director, managing operations of a software company. Here I am working, and I have worked in the software industry for a long time. So yes, there's the software piece, but the operations. How does the airport operations work, and safety on the ground? How do you make sure that the autonomous vehicles are instructed to move at an appropriate time when it's safe to move? So, you know, I've worked in the mining industry with those big Tonka trucks. Safety is a huge thing in the mining industry. And you know, just having me yell at a junior engineer to say, hey, don't stand in between these two vehicles because, you know, there's a crush risk because the robot can't see you. It's all adjacent. Obviously, I've jumped around in my description here, but each of my switches have not been a complete pivot. I would say they're micro pivots. It's a slight change from A to B to C, not directly to Z.
I love that. How do you know when it's time to do a micro pivot?
I think I just get bored of what I'm working on. I think part of it's also, I think generalists are really good at diving deep in a particular area for a period. They'll get good at that, and yeah, in a sense, maybe get bored because it becomes routine. And for me especially, you know, I like the innovation and doing new things.
Okay, we've got a few gems coming through. The one is find the red thread or the golden thread through your career. So yours is the critical infrastructure, and that's so cool because I've never heard anyone else say that. Like, so that's like burned into my memory that that's Darren's thing. The other is this idea of adjacency. So you're not necessarily going from A to Z, from one thing to a completely different thing, but it could be, you know, maybe you're changing the role or you're changing which direction you're going in the company. It doesn't have to be an enormously radical shift to actually do a pivot. I love the idea of a micro pivot. And as you were talking there about, you know, maybe you get bored after a certain amount of time, but interestingly, you did say, you know, but we can go deep, because there's this idea that generalists can't go deep at all, which from my experience is not the case. Like, generalists can go deep. It does seem to be for a certain amount of time. It might just not be, you know, for the span of one's career. And I was like, are we like temporary specialists? Like, we temporarily go deep, and then we can be like, okay, for reason X, Y, and Z, I'm going to go and move on to something different.
Yeah, I think I have the luxury now that I'm quite a bit older. I can say that, hey, I've spent a number of years working on a particular topic. You know, so I had a startup, you know, my own business in the IoT space, so the Internet of Things. And, you know, this is where you have small, relatively cheap devices connected to the internet that send information back, that control things. And environmental monitoring is a big topic using IoT. So imagine being able to monitor the temperature across an entire forest, not just with one, you know, sensor at the main, you know, outside the main gate of a national park, but having those sensors embedded throughout the forest and look at the ecosystem and how it changes as the wind blows from one end of the forest to the other. You've got hardware, you've got software, you've got data, you've got communications, you've got manufacturing of these pieces of equipment. Yeah, so, you know, I dive deep into that for a couple of years or for a few years there. And essentially, an autonomous vehicle is using a lot of IoT technology. What is its speed? What is its GPS location? Has it picked up the container of luggage? What is its camera showing? Is it safe to move forward? So there's a lot of stuff that I picked up as a specialist in IoT that is good to know about, and I can think about what issues might present when we're trying to send one of those vehicles from A to B. So, yeah, we are in a sense specialists for a time, but we also bring all of those specializations in one. And I think, you know, particularly my last role as an operations director or as a general manager of a small business, you know, that word general is right there. You have to know about finance, you have to know about HR, you have to know about business development and sales, building a website. And for someone who's earlier on in their career, it's that whole skill stacking thing. I sometimes wonder if it happens in large organizations now. The graduate programs, you know, you rotate a person through the different departments, through different roles, so they get exposure across an organization, across all of the functions. That's how you build leaders. You know, you're a general in an army. They go to the infantry, they go and drive the tanks, they do a little bit of this, and they rotate through the different roles. Take every opportunity, I think. Be curious and see what's out there.
100%. That really resonates with me as well. Has there been, when you look back at your career and you've made these micro pivots and maybe even macro pivots at times, has there been a truism or a philosophy that has kind of followed you through or something that you've lived by?
I remember as a student reading about the types of leaders who are described as the ones that walk the workshop floor. So we have a large supermarket chain here, and one of the CEOs was quite famous that he would go and visit a supermarket, a random one, you know, on his way to work and pop in. Sometimes he'd be seen pushing trolleys or working the checkout. And I think, you know, being in touch with your business, the front lines across those aspects really helps you understand the whole chain. You might be working in, you know, a large finance organization. You might only be able to have access to a small part of that chain. You know, a bank, a financial institution has insurance products and credit cards and home loans. So, but, you know, maybe it's exploring the end-to-end of a home loan product. But yeah, we always talk about being in the customer's shoes. And I think a lot of leaders forget that. You know, they're sitting in their ivory towers, the corner office, or at the cafe, you know, however, you know, whatever scale your business is. But I think the key thing for people that I've seen as successful are the ones who have lived it and are quite comfortable to jump back in at the front lines. There was a CEO of a bank here. She started as a teller and worked her way through the organization. That really grabbed me, and I always think about that, you know, when I'm in a software company, when we're looking at product development, how do I do it as a user? What do I go through? And that's been really useful.
Such a helpful reminder. I think it's really easy to, the longer you do something, the easier it is to kind of drift away from that, what was probably the original mission.
I think for you, like in your case, right, you're about to review, you know, 1,200 applications to join Generalist World. What is the experience of someone going like, oh, you know, I'm not sure. This sounds really cool. I'm ready to stump up some money. What is the customer journey? And I think you and I haven't actually been through that customer journey as customers, because, you know, obviously this is your thing. But what's really cool is you work with other members and understand their journey through the process. And you have different team members go like, can you run through this flow? And does it work? And I think that's really important, because if we lose touch of that, yeah, of course people aren't going to sign up or buy your product.
Yeah, I think people always get really surprised when they realize it's me messaging them on LinkedIn. They're like, is this an AI or is this a bot? And I'm like, no, it's really me. And yeah. I guess that's the equivalent of going and walking through the aisles at the supermarket, where it's like, actually, I could, in theory, outsource that, of course, but particularly because we are a community product, I'm not ready to. It's so important that I'm speaking with the people and they're speaking with me and we get to know each other. And I'm like, okay, I can hand on heart say this is a good fit for you, so come on in. And yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorite parts of my job as well, because we get to see, okay, who are these people who are interested and who might need this? Let me like have that proper touch point with them. So yeah, I think it's a really important point. Speaking of GW, you are our Sydney lead. I believe you hosted an event
On Monday.
I just saw the picture. Can you talk me through your GW experience, and particularly what, if someone might be listening in Sydney, why might they come along to one of your events?
So starting at the top, you know, what was my journey? It was chatting with you on the LinkedIn, you know, commentary about generalists. You know, going back to the point about people are joining the community and it's like, oh, wow, it's you. Generalist world was a lot smaller back then. And, you know, a lot of us OG members and early adopters, I guess, you know, we got to chat more often. And your ideas, what the community was thinking and information that was putting out about generalists and how to think, how to put yourself forward in a world of specialists was very useful. It resonated, and the community has just been so supportive and helpful and genuinely curious. And out of the community, there's always at least a handful of people who have lived experience of whatever challenge that you might be facing or something similar. Again, that adjacency thing. I think generalists are able to connect the dots in a way that, oh, I've experienced that kind of thing over here, you know, aviation industry, or it happened in the banking industry, or, you know, in this rock climbing business that we had, this happened and it sounds like that. You know, every company has a website today. Some of them are big, some of them are small, they're on different platforms. But the common thing is, well, how do we get information out to people, or how do we help them transact, or how do we help them collaborate? The stories are the same, and the people are so genuinely helpful. And with the events, of course I'm biased, but you know, I've run a lot of events over the years, and I've also been to a lot of events. Industry events vary in a sense that you'll have a couple of different kinds. There'll be the industry events that, hey, you know, our industry is fantastic, and everyone's talking shop, but you're all in the same industry. So in a way, that kind of gets a little bit boring. The other thing is, in those industry events, they're only going to make money if vendors are there. I've been a vendor, so I can say this. Yeah, so you're out there trying to sell your stuff. You know, there's a lot of hustle, and so there's a game that you play. If you're on the on the customer side, you're like kind of a little cautious about vendors, and then in the vendor space, you're always cautious about your competitors or you know, what are you trying to angle? And then, of course, you're there working. You're trying to do the hustle. Puts a very different dynamic amongst the attendees. With the generous world, we're generally all here just to help and to learn and to connect with some interesting people. And I get that feedback at every single event from at least a few people that they really enjoyed not having that pressure and how genuinely helpful people are. And the number of post-event catch-ups that people organize is really, really nice to hear about. So, you know, every event is, oh, I caught up with so-and-so after our event and we had coffee or whatever it might have been. And that brings people back. So we've got a lot of regulars, and I think that really shows how valuable the meetups have been. I'm happy to have been facilitating that.
We're so grateful to have you facilitating. You've been really the rock flying that Sydney flag. And yeah, it is so fantastic to hear. It's like collisions. It's like you create this space and you don't really know exactly what people are going to be talking about or what will come from it, but you know that some things will come from it, and it's just creating a space for people to collide. Mm. And I think you can measure the success by how many people are meeting up after again. It's like that's how you know you're really onto something.
Yeah, absolutely. Not waiting for the next event for me to organize.
Yeah, totally. Darren, this has been fantastic. There's so many golden nuggets in here. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you wish I had asked you that you would like to talk about while you've got the mic?
Now you're putting me on the spot. You ask a generalist, what would you like to talk about? And then it's like, could be any topic, yeah. Probably final messages is really, things are not black and white. It's not specialist versus generalist. We talked about specialist generalists or specialists for a time, and there's flavors all the way across the spectrum, and where you lie on that spectrum may change over time as well. So embrace that. Change is inevitable in yourself, but also in the environment, and there's no one right answer, I don't think. I really, really hate those LinkedIn articles and news articles that say, hey, you gotta wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and, you know, be the early bird. I am totally not an early bird. You know, I am a lark. I do work well late into the evening. There's no one way. And it changes over time. You might have a period where you're getting up early all the time because that's what's required. And you excel at that for a little while. And you might find that it's not working and switch it up.
Mm. Strong message to end on. Darren, thank you so much for joining us on the GW Pod, and thank you so much for hosting our Sydney meetups. If you're listening from Sydney, we're going to link all of Darren's connection details, LinkedIn details, so you can get in touch and go and join one of our meetups.
Not limited to Sydney either. I've done Singapore as well.
True that. International expansion.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Darren.